Welcome back, everyone, to this 26th episode of Guildcast. I'm your host, Sean, and with me once again is Ruby.
Hey, how are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you doing?
Good. I'm tired. We had family in from out of town for Thanksgiving, and I've been running around a lot. How was your holiday?
It was pretty crazy. We had some family in as well. And, you know, it's funny. We went to this restaurant, this pretty awesome restaurant in downtown around here. And we went there the day after Thanksgiving. We figured, hey, everybody's going to be, you know, eating turkey. And so it'll be really quiet, and it'll be just us. And it was packed. It was absolutely packed. And it's like, don't you people have turkey to eat or something? I mean, yeah.
Dude, they were shopping. This was like a break from shopping.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, they couldn't make it home to the turkey. So.
To the turkey sandwiches.
Yeah. But, yeah, it was a good little... I was going to say break, but it wasn't really a break. I mean, I guess it was a little bit, but... yeah. Good time.
You stopped working for like a half an hour, didn't you?
Yeah, I think I did, yeah. So that was...
That was a vacation.
Was yeah. But, yeah, it was a lot of fun. A lot of fun, definitely.
Oh, awesome.
I didn't really get a lot of gaming in, especially Guild Wars, but I've been kind of messing around with some other stuff, but I'm sure people here don't want to hear about it, right?
I don't know. I really wanted to farm pie and cider this weekend, and I haven't had too much time, so I got to get down.
It almost made me think you said pie insider, like that's a new website, all about pie.
Like... Pie and hard apple cider.
Yeah.
How's that?
I'm like, whoa, they have a new Pie and Cider magazine?
A new edition is out? All the best pies. Your girlfriend cooks really well. She could help us. Listen, we need you to bake a pie every day so we can check it out.
Yep, and then we'll get the inside scoop. Get it?
I got nothing. Really, I just can't even make fun of you enough.
I know. I make fun of myself. That's all right.
All right. Well, this is making me hungry. So, Guild Wars.
Yes, Guild Wars. Guild Wars. We have a little bit of news this week. Again, this is, you know, they're still stringing us along with this Mesmer reveal. I mean, just, I like it because, you know.
They're stringing you along.
Well, everybody wants the Mesmer, don't they? Don't they?
Right?
Okay.
So, yes. So, oh my gosh, just stop crying.
So still no Mesmer reveal. Now watch, if they don't even like have a Mesmer, like it ends up where they just don't, and that's probably what it is, they're like, hey guys, you know, Sean is really kind of freaking out about this. What are we going to do? How are we going to tell him we don't have a Mesmer in Guild Wars 2? Let's just save it till last, okay? Yeah, okay.
And then eventually he'll figure it out.
Yeah. We'll be like, okay, we have the last character class reveal, and it's not a Mesmer. What? Then I will
cry. Then for like 6 months, you'll be talking about the surprise class that they're... The surprise ninth class that they're going to reveal.
Yeah, I'll be in total denial. Yeah. I'll be like, okay, next week, it'll still be the Mesmer reveal next week, right?
You're like rocking back and forth in the corner.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll see how that plays out. But we do have news this week, though, and it's all about the Hearts of the North. And... of course, we have a lot of email. We have a ton of email, actually, because we took last week off because I was in Korea. And so we're going to read, I mean, we're going to read not all of it, of course, but we're going to read most of them, get to as many as we can and try to answer them. But we'll do like a speed clear of email.
An email speed clear?
Yeah. How's that?
I hope there's good loot at the end.
We'll see. So yeah, Hearts of the North. You want to talk a little bit about that? Let everyone know what that's all about, even though it's like 2 weeks old now?
Yeah, this is, well, everybody's had time to check it out. Yeah. This is actually a continuation of the Guild Wars Beyond Tyrion content. The War in Crida is over, and if you've gotten to the end of War in Crida, you know that Kieran Thackeray's missing. Gwen's flipping out, but not enough to leave the Hall of Monuments. She's just kind of quietly flipping out inside your Hall of Monuments. And Hearts of the North is the search for Kieran, where we find out where he's been and what he's been up to, and their reunion at the end. So you have to have finished War in Crida to get to Hearts of the North, because it's kind of like, I've heard a lot of people complaining that, you know, it's not fair that I have to have finished War in Crida. To me, that's like complaining that you aren't allowed to kill Abaddon until you've done Consulate Docks.
Yeah.
So it's a progression of the storyline, so it's there.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. And you actually streamed this last week, didn't you?
That was seriously like the scariest thing I've ever done. I did all of the content. I did all of the Hearts of the North content live on livestream TV for like you were there at the. How many were there? Like 350 people at the start.
At the very start, there were, and then it got up to like 450, and then a lot of people, a lot of people were complaining that it wasn't Guild Wars 2 because I guess there was some misunderstanding that because ArenaNet tweeted it from their Guild Wars 2 account, and they said, "Hey, go check out Ruby It Massively." And so people are like, "Oh my God, Guild Wars 2 is going to be streaming," and like no one said anything about that. So, but a lot of people got really excited about it, and they went there, and they were like, "Why isn't this Guild Wars 2? What's going on? This is you know Guild Wars 1 content. This is you guys are lying and you know like yelling at us," and we're like,
"We didn't."
It was funny because someone actually changed their name on the chat to "This is Guild Wars 1 footage" or something like "This is a Guild Wars 1 video."
Oh, really?
Yeah, and people are like, "Why isn't this Guild Wars 2?" And then that person would be like, "Hi." Just like, "Read my name here."
That was you, wasn't it?
I wish I thought of it first, actually. But no.
You know, it was interesting talking to you afterward because I was so focused on the actual content that I had a laptop set up next to the desktop so I could keep an eye on chat later as I was able to kind of split my focus. Mm-hmm. But it was really interesting hearing you tell me afterwards what was going on in chat for the first hour or so.
All of the marriage proposals, you missed all that?
Yeah. I'm cool with that. But you know what? I am so, so glad that I did not have time to look over and see that 450 people were watching. I would have passed out.
Yeah. Well, eventually, after not only, I don't know, maybe 20 minutes, like 100 of those people left because they were all expecting Guild Wars 2 stuff, and they were, you know, saying it was boring, and they have better things to do and stuff, you know, so they, about 100 people left really quickly. But yeah, it maintained around 350, and then I think it went down to like 300 for a good bit, and you had a good time with the ones that stayed, right? Because the ones
that
could read and tell time and stuff?
The ones that could read and tell time were great. What was fun is that, because there was some stuff that was not fun.
Yeah.
But what was fun was that once I kind of got into a rhythm and I was able to split my focus between chat and the game, when I was out of my Kieran disguise, because you play through most of the content as Kieran Thackeray, it's like a bonus mission pack game, and you've got a set really awesome skill bar. But while in between missions, while I was on my Necro, we got to discussing like Spiteful Spirit builds and the advantages of different kinds of Minion Master builds and all of that. And that was kind of cool to chat back and forth with them about that as well.
Yeah. I think that's actually part of the fun of that, the streaming thing. You know, you get to play it and you get people in there live, you know, saying, "Hey, try this out or try this out." And then you get to have kind of, you know, discussions about your build or discussions about where you're at and things like that. And that's a lot of the fun of the streaming itself, being live.
Yeah. I did like that. And actually, along those lines with the live streaming, what was so much fun, when I was heading to different outposts, I had to stop at Eye of the North, and then I think I was like at Beetleton and Ventari's Refuge, and I would go, and people that were watching the live stream had logged in and were meeting me in those outposts on their characters.
Oh, so they could be famous? They could be on TV?
I was cool with that. I was like zooming into first person, and I'd run up to these crowds and let everybody get on TV. But it was really neat running into those characters in game while they were in chat.
Yeah, and then they get to see themselves. I mean, that is one of those things. Like when I used to make Guildcast videos, there were a lot of people who would, you know, we would post it in the forums, and people would be like, "Oh, at 1:17, that's me standing, you know, right there." And I think it's really cool because they get a kick out of that,
and
especially with the live, because then you can be like, "Come over by me," or they could run over by you, and you know, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, come see. So that really was a good time. I mean, it was there was so much interaction. Mm-hmm. I did get a kick out of. Somebody was saying, and I think you saw this too, somebody was saying that I was completely wasting my time playing this as a ranger because the class was so weak and that I needed to get in there as like an Ellie or a Necro or something stronger. And I was like, "I don't think you understand what's going on here. I didn't choose this."
Yeah, well, all the comments were pretty much like, "Oh my God, you're playing a ranger noob," or "Oh my God, you have this skill noob." I think that's, I mean, that's expected. That's just kind of... You know.
Yeah, so I got to explain, okay, look, this character, this class, this skill bar, none of this I picked. This is just how it worked. When you play this, you'll have this too.
Yeah.
And you don't get to change it.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, in between on my Necro, she had a Spiteful Spirit build loaded just because that's my preferred build.
Yeah.
Now, this content is hard. I'm not sure how long, I know you had to go after a little while, so I'm not sure how long you watched, but this is solo content with a set build. I failed over and over and over and over because it's just you and this NPC assassin that is like acting as your sidekick. Mm-hmm. And if you die, you're done and you have to start over. And I think in the third mission, I died either 5 or 6 times and had to keep restarting.
Jeez.
And I was like sweating. But after a while, I was like, you know, this is... After a while, I thought, this is good that you guys can see this, because I've run through this content 2 or 3 times. This is not anything that you're going to sail through easy. Mm-hmm. It's difficult content. You have to get a feel for how this works.
So were you being called a noob a lot?
You know what? I wasn't looking.
Yeah.
I didn't want to know. I was like, you know what? If I look over there and see that they're calling me names, this is going to make it 10 times worse because I'm already nervous.
Yeah.
I did glance over at one point, and I kind of like gritted my teeth. I was like, all right, I guess I should look if somebody's asking me a question. Because people were asking me questions and talking, and I was answering them verbally. Mm-hmm. They could hear me on my mic. And I thought, you know, I need to suck it up and look. And several people were like, okay, she's going to do it this time. It's okay. This isn't, you know, it's not that she sucks. It's that this is hard content. You have to get used to it. And she's going to do it this time. And I was like, okay, I won't let you down much more.
That's cool, though. So, I mean, not only did you get to experience it several times already, but, you know, even before that, but you got to kind of show off to others. What would you say is your favorite part, though?
My absolute favorite part is that this is a look, and ArenaNet hasn't said this. This is just me putting puzzle pieces together. This is a look at how combat is going to work in Guild Wars 2.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so, so excited to get to actually experience that, because we're not going to have a dedicated healing class in Guild Wars 2, but you're going to have some good self-heals.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they've really talked quite a bit about how different people can combine their skills to make a better effect. And I think shooting the arrows through the firewall was the biggest thing. You know, everybody was talking about that.
Yeah.
And when you play as Kieran, you have a skill called Kieran Sniper Shot. And Miku the Assassin, your sidekick, that this is who Kieran kind of joined forces with, she has a skill, she has a hex that will make the foe marked for death. And I'm actually drawing a blank on the name. I knew I would do that. But she's got this hex, and she calls it Promise of Death. Mm. And she'll call it, and she'll say, I'm using Promise of Death on White Mantle Knight. And that makes them marked for death. If you use Kieran's Sniper Shot on a foe that is marked for death, it does +900 damage every time.
Wow.
And it's just, but if you just use it on your own, it's got a 25% chance of causing +900 damage.
Oh, okay.
So if you combine that with Miku's Promise of Death, it's absolutely devastating. I mean, you're one-shotting all over the place.
Yeah.
It is really neat.
That's cool.
And then we each had a very good self-heal. I actually had a self-heal and then an attack that removed all conditions. Because the White Mantle, they were like poisoning and crippling me right and left. So it was very cool that if you just paid attention. And Miku had a skill that caused bleeding. And then I had a skill that did extra damage if a foe was bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
So you really have to learn to pay attention to what your companion is doing.
That's cool.
And learn how to play off of that to do more damage. And once I got the hang of doing that, and I'm still pretty spotty. I mean, it's something that you really do have to work at and learn. But at the times when I had the hang of that and I was working well with her, we were just slicing through enemies so quickly.
Cool.
Yeah.
See, I like the fact that you have to pay attention to what your teammates are doing. That's something we actually talked about that a while back. There's another upcoming game called The Secret World, and they do that. And I was telling you about it, and you were like, well, you know, that's Guild Wars. I mean, it's what, especially what Guild Wars 2 is going to be, you know, evolving into even more. And I like that because it makes you not so solo-minded, which I think happens ironically in a lot of MMOs. People just, you know, what can I do for myself, or what can I do, you know, to kill the most monsters, or, you know,
right.
especially with like achievements and stuff like that. So when you get the team together and people have to really play with each other, you know, I mean, I think that works really well. And it's always been like that in Guild Wars, but I think it looks like they're aiming towards even more of that, right?
It has, and I'll tell you, it has showed me, and I guess this is a good thing, even though I don't like it, it has showed me where I am really weak as a player. Because I'm, and this sounds obnoxious to say, but I'm pretty good. I'm a pretty good player.
Mm-hmm.
But this has taught me, I learned the hard way that I am a lazy player. I have, you know, I play an Ellie. I've got my comfort zone build that, it's like Liquid Flame, Fireball, all of these group, you know, single shot group damage skills.
Mm-hmm.
I can T-space, I guess, if somebody really wants to focus on something. But I can pretty much just stand in the back and sling these spells, and I don't have to think that hard.
Yeah. Well, I've always said that Ellies, now I love Ellies, don't get me wrong, but Ellies are one of those that you could potentially play the easiest, because all you have to do is make some fireworks, and people will think you're playing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you mm-hmm. throw some fireballs around, and people are like, wow, that... you're a good Ellie. But if you're like a monk and one person dies, you're a horrible, horrible monk. You know what I mean? It's like, it doesn't matter what you're actually doing. It's just kind of the perception based on, you know, what people see. But yeah, I think that's true about Ellies. You can kind of do that. I have gotten to that point on my Necro at sometimes because you just start cursing everything. You know, you start throwing disease around and spiteful spirit and things like that. And nobody really sees it. But
and I think their red bars are going down. So
yeah, every time they hit, you know, something, the red bar cuts in half, and the same with Mesmer. You know, Mesmers, you throw all these little hexes around, and then you kind of sit back while it recharges and watch everybody kill themselves, and they don't really get all the fireworks that the Ellies get. You know what I mean? So people are like, what is that Mesmer doing back there? You know, it's like,
is she filing her nails?
And then the warrior's always like, I took all those people on by myself. No, you didn't.
Well, my Mesmer, that is a hard class to play. That's one that's making me think, too. And she's getting a lot of love lately.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Ellie, I mean, my Ellie is like the easy button. And I found out really quickly in front of an audience of 450 that I am not that good when I have to really target and focus and watch what the other players are doing. So I got to get in there and learn that.
That's cool, though. That's cool that, you know, it's kind of a incentive, I guess.
It is, and it's training for Guild Wars 2. I mean, this is as close as we're going to get to Guild Wars 2 play right now, and mm-hmm. I absolutely loved that. I was so excited.
That's cool.
Yeah. Now, this content came with costumes, too.
Oh,
and
okay.
I think I showed you a couple of them.
Yeah.
But
the wedding costumes, right?
The wedding party costumes were so cool. I'm such a sucker for all that little cosmetic stuff. And I love seeing it. I think I've said this before. I love seeing it in the store because, to me, purely cosmetic items are the core of what should be in an in-game store.
Mm-hmm.
That is, you know, nobody can say that this gives a gameplay advantage. That entire debate goes right out the window.
Mm-hmm.
It's purely cosmetic, and it makes the company $10 here and there.
Yeah, it's something you don't need, but you can buy, and it's...
Yes, and I was, like, coming through the screen to buy those things. When Hearts of the North launched, the NCSoft store broke. I guess the entire store wasn't broken, but something glitched on the back end, and the costumes would not come up.
Mm.
And I'm, like, sitting here with my credit card and my eye twitching. Where are my costumes? So I'm like refreshing and refreshing and refreshing and refreshing. And they finally came up, but it's a bigger set than what we usually have.
Mm-hmm.
You have a white wedding gown and a black tux. And then you have two different kinds of formal gowns. You have a female tuxedo, which is absolutely the cutest thing I've ever seen in my life. And the guys got a little short change. They have two different tuxedos.
So there's no male dresses, right?
There's no kilt. There was a lot of call for a kilt.
No, I want to wear a big white frilly dress. I mean, is that wrong?
Are we? We're not talking about the game anymore, are we?
Oh, in the game. Oh, yeah. Okay. Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. My whole brain has completely stopped.
Don't stop. Just stop picturing just, that, and then
I want to so badly. There were new headpieces. There were some different top hats. There was a female top hat that was awesome. Two new hairstyles for the females that acted like hats, which I thought was a very clever idea. I liked that quite a bit. And then a couple different top hats for the guys. So the whole set was really cool. And NCSoft gave us, at Massively, they gave us 10 of those sets to give away.
Yeah.
So I had a great time with that.
Yeah, people don't realize that when we get stuff to give away, we don't get those. Like, it's for people. It's to give away, you know what I mean? So people are like...
Yes.
So we see them and we're like, oh, I want one of those. But we have to give them away.
Yeah, I did. And I guess I should be very clear about that. I was very good. I gave away all 10 of them. Yeah. I paid for my own.
That's all right.
So I have purchased every costume that's come out from the NCSoft store. So if we do a giveaway of Guild Wars costumes, I promise I didn't keep any for myself.
But I really enjoyed the costumes themselves and kind of the look of them and everything. Uh-huh. I think that it's great to have kind of that closet full of costumes, you know, and we're almost to that point already. And, you know, this is something that's going to be coming in Guild Wars 2, right? The whole costume slot thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's something that, they're talking about a lot of cosmetic armor and cosmetic clothing. So it's getting us ready for that. Plus the fact that, we just have this arsenal of clothes to pick from now. So that not everyone, like when the first costumes came out, everyone looked the same. And it kind of bugged me. I was like, okay, this is kind of defeats the purpose of it if everyone has the exact same costumes.
Right.
But now we see, you know, everyone has the different costumes, and I think it's cool.
Yeah, I get quite a kick out of it. And a lot of people have been experimenting with different headpieces and different armor and just combining costume and hat bits and pieces with regular armor.
Yeah.
And I've seen some really neat effects.
That's cool.
Yeah, so I'm excited. I think my favorite was the female top hat. As soon as I think John Stummy said something about top hats before any of this came out, and everybody was immediately screaming bloody murder for top hats for the women.
Yeah.
So one of the first things I did was bust out my little red-headed Mesmer. She has enchanter's armor, and I put a top hat with it.
You know, I was just thinking about that. I have my my Mesmer has the what's it called? The elite. I forgot the name of it now. It's I think it starts with an L, but I got it from. Oh God, I can't even remember. Anyway, it's really cool looking armor. Let me give you that. It's the male. It's very. It looks like kind of a suit almost, and then I made it like a plum color, like a light plum color. I have a picture of it on, I think, on Guildcast's Facebook page. And then I got the goggles, the steampunk goggles, you know, for Christmas. And then if I had a top hat on top of that, I think... Well, can you put the goggles and the top... Yeah, you can, right? The goggles and the top hat?
I don't think so.
Oh, really? Because I thought... I figured the goggles would be considered a mask.
Not sure now. Okay. Oh, okay. I just went to Facebook and I'm, like, looking.
Oh, okay.
Oh, he looks good.
But, I mean, I was just thinking it would be cool to have that top hat on top of that, because then it would look like a total steampunk.
Okay, I'm going to have to try that.
Now, are these dyeable?
No. Well, okay. I'm sorry, the hats are not dyeable. For the women, there are three of the gowns are dyeable. The white gown is fixed.
Okay.
For the men, they have, again, they got a little shortchanged. I think they have one dyeable tuxedo. And then the other ones are fixed.
Cool.
I could be wrong. I have all female characters. I had to delete an old, unused character and make a male character so I could play with the guy costumes.
That's awesome.
Now I'm focused on the goggles and the hat. I can't remember if you can do that or not, but I need to try.
Yeah, that would be a cool combo, I think.
Yeah, he would look pretty awesome.
He would look like... there's this character in Fable 3. He would look just like him. But anyway.
I want to know what your Mesmer's looking at. He's just frowning at something so hard.
He's intense. He's he's focused.
I guess. I think he's scared about that haunted house behind him.
That might be it. Either that or your character is off to the side and he's looking and he's really scared because he doesn't like your character.
She's scary. Yes.
So anyway, yeah, so that's essentially it, right? Was the costumes and the new quests.
Yeah, and the new content. I think, and I talked about this in last Monday's Flameseeker Chronicles. I loved the content overall. There were some things that I thought could be better. Mm-hmm. It was just a little bit buggier than what I was used to. And I think they're working on that. I mean, they're working out some of the bugs. That's like I said, the store broke when it came up. The new content actually broke part of the war in Krita, where for a short time, if you were on part of the war in Krita, you could not progress at all. Something got screwed up and there was a quest that you couldn't pick up anymore. So if you hadn't finished the war in Krita, not only could you not do Hearts of the North, but you couldn't even progress in war in Krita to get to Hearts of the North. So that got finished. That got fixed pretty quickly, though. I think my favorite bug was that I guess, as it looked to me, Kieran, when you find him, you go outside of Icetooth Cave, and there's a particular area. If you're at the right point in the series and you have Gwen in your party, Kieran will come running down the mountain, and he'll meet you, and that's their reunion. Mm-hmm. But I guess Kieran has a fixed point where he runs to, and it does not matter where you are.
Oh, yeah, with the wolf thing.
Yes, so he goes charging past my entire group. He's seriously like 50 yards past us. And he's standing by this snow wolf like, just let me look at you for a minute. It's been so long. And I'm looking around going, should we go? I have Gwen here, but...
Hey, if you're into wolves, that's cool.
Yeah, if you're cool with the snow wolf, we'll go.
The wolf's like, oh.
Yeah, we met. The wolf looked a little nervous. So, but it was, it could have been a little more polished. It felt a little bit rushed. So, and I got, I actually got a very angry message from one fan telling me that I had insulted the ArenaNet staff. But
from what you said on the podcast? Or from Flameseeker?
It was from Flameseeker Chronicles. Oh, okay. I got like this huge 5-paragraph thing, and apparently I insulted them, and I was unfair. Some of the bugs, well, I guess all of the bugs they said were either it was stuff that they could not have possibly known about, or it was my own fault.
Oh, okay.
So he was like, there's this thing called tab, and you could tab through the... I was like, I know that. You're missing my point. So, because Miku is an NPC, you know how when someone calls a target, you hit T in space?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't T space with Miku.
Oh.
It doesn't work. So she's like, I'm using Promise of Death on White Mantle Knight. Well, there's three of them.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm having, and the hex only lasts 10 seconds. So she calls this, and I'm sitting here tabbing through trying to figure out who's hexed. And it was about 50-50. I would get to the right target, and it takes a little bit longer to make that shot. It's probably like 1 second to make the shot. So it's like this race to find the right target and get the shot off before either the hex runs out or is removed. So I would have liked to see that improved. I mean, I don't think that's unreasonable.
No.
Yeah. Miku's AI has her target the nearest character. It's like she just always sees spaces. I guess that's to be expected from an AI. It's not like, I don't think it's unreasonable. But what that resulted in, a lot of times she would be using Promise of Death on a level 15 bone minion rather than using it on the healer or the White Mantle Knight that was punching me in the head. or better yet, the Necro that was creating these level 15 bone minions.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know, I don't really think that can be, I don't think you can set up an AI to sit there and judge the targets. I don't really know enough about that. So I'm probably talking out my ear, but...
I don't know, they have some pretty advanced AI, especially for targeting healers first. So I don't know, maybe they accidentally put like the Alicia AI, the old AI in there.
I don't know. It was, but it was, no, she always targets the closest. which when you're first starting, that's great, because if you're approaching a group, your closest target is her closest target. So you just see space and wait for her to call her hex, and then you get your sniper shot off, and it's all good. But after that, since she's an assassin, she's in melee, I'm back ranged, and her closest target is completely different from mine, which leaves me standing back there tabbing, going, you know, maybe if I take that one out, she'll come back here and help me with this guy that's, you know, killing me in melee range. So there were things that I thought could be improved, but apparently they were all my own fault.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it was, but overall, I'm absolutely crazy about the content. I love it so much, and I'm going to be playing through it on every character I have.
Cool. You have to kind of keep us, you know, keep us informed on how everything progresses and everything, and how you're enjoying it.
I will. It's definitely a learning curve. It's making me a better player, even if I have to have my multiple inadequacies exposed.
It's just training you for Guild Wars 2.
You know what? It really, really is. And that is, I was absolutely thrilled when I figured out what was going on. Mm-hmm. And that this was teaching us Guild Wars 2.
Cool.
Yeah, it was exciting. Okay, I'll quit rambling about it, I promise. I just really love it.
That's all right. That's what the show's for, right?
Yeah. And I would love to hear from any of our listeners that have played through it what you think and what you loved and what you didn't love and if you bought the costumes.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, even either an email or in the comments. Definitely want to hear about that. Speaking of email, we have quite a few to read.
Yeah.
So I figured we'd get through some of those. And now, this first one, actually, we should have read this on the last show because it's now 3 weeks old. Actually, it's over 3 weeks old. And it's from Chiona. And
oh,
she
hey,
says,
Chiona.
Hey guys, this is pretty far out there, but I was just curious about your thoughts on the special drops during one of the Halloween quests, Commandeering a Mortal Vessel. Due to the quest taking place in an Eye of the North area in Tyria, there was a possibility to find shields, wands, and focus items with 3 mods on them instead of the usual 2. So, for example, a shield could have 2 inherent Tyrian mods and also a shield handle from the inscription system. The chance was very small, of course, but for me, the possibility of finding one made the quest very exciting. It was great to actually care what you got when you identified a wooden chakram, and I had a lot of fun repeating that quest, even though I didn't get one of those triple-modded items myself. After Halloween, a build was released that identified these items. However, they have not yet been removed from the game. Do you guys think that these items should be removed, or do you think that, like the plus 15 damage weapons with no drawbacks from the early days of Prophecies, that these should be left in and resources for improving the game should be used elsewhere? And in general, how important do you guys think it is that a game have this sort of inequalities corrected? Thanks, Chiona. What do you think?
I honestly, and I don't know how much ArenaNet looks at it like this, I'm for leaving them just because I'm for a shakeup in the market. This is an old game, and the player market is just, I don't know. I'm ready for something new in the player market. So
I'd have to agree. I think that I also am a big fan of things like this. Like back in the old days, like she's even talking about, you know, with the plus 15 weapon damage weapons, and then also they used to have where the items would be totally screwed up with their mods. You know, where you'd have like a mesmer, like a healing spells mod on there, plus like some, you know, a mesmer mod, and then you would have like a, you know, a necro mod. You'd have like all these different class mods together, and it's impossible to have 3 classes, you know, so then you wouldn't be able to use it. And I think they kept those, didn't they? I don't think they got rid of those.
Yeah, I think those are still in the game. This reminds me of a weapon that someone gave me. And it was a Guildcast, longtime Guildcast listener. This is actually how I know him. Remember Zach Eck?
Yeah.
He was in the Guildcast. Well, he's in my current guild. And he gave me, I have to think and get this right, it was an Earth Staff of Fire Magic with a Water Magic mod.
Yeah, exactly.
We were like, man, we just need that... Air Magic mod, and we have got the most epic weapon ever. But we were out of room for mods.
Yeah.
So, but that's just how it dropped for him.
Yeah, and that's the way. Yeah, that's the way the things were a long time ago, back in the old days.
Back in the day, you have to say back in the day.
Oh yeah, back in the
explode.
Day. That's your favorite.
No, it's not.
Okay, so this next email, it says, I just wanted to point out that making an app for Guild Wars 2 that can be on the iPod wouldn't take a lot of time. Making it so Guild Wars 2 is compatible with the Mac, hours and hours of headache. What makes it hard is that you can't program on a Mac like you do on a Windows computer. It would be really hard to make it work, and even if they did, it would also be hard to sync Mac with Windows players. Guild Wars 2 is already going to be a huge game on content and really complex program, in my opinion. The money from people buying Guild Wars 2 would make it for all the time it would take to make it Mac compatible and sync with Windows. That's my opinion. We actually got a lot of email about this. Now, this is something I always forget. You know, we talk about, I don't forget it, but I kind of write it off. We talk about Mac games, and every single time I don't mention that, yes, you can play any PC game, Windows game on the Mac because of Boot Camp. I don't think it counts, though. I mean, like, to me, it doesn't count. I mean, I had a long, long time ago, I had a Mac in probably 94, and it was like a Performa, I think, back in the really old days, and they had the ability to run Windows through some certain software, and I remember I used to use that, and it was so slow. I mean, it's incredibly slow, and it's just one of those things, because you're running through, like, it's almost like double booting, you know, but at the same time. So I don't really count that, I guess. It's almost like an understood thing that you can do that, even though I don't talk about it. So when I say that something can't be run on a Mac, I mean natively. You know, you can always run this stuff through Boot Camp. I don't think it counts, but I don't know. It's a possibility. So I guess I should throw that out there, that yes, you can run any, you know, most Windows stuff on a PC, or on a Mac that goes on a PC. But what he's talking about here is natively also, you know, reprogramming everything specifically for a Mac, and that's completely different. And I am not a programmer, so I'm not going to act like I know somebody's going to write in and say, actually, you can do this. Well, that's great, you know, but I mean natively. I think that's what I'm talking about. And actually, this next email covers that, too. This is from Ryan from Relics of War. And he says, in regard to the Mac discussion, I believe the reason Guild Wars was Windows exclusive was because at the time, Windows was the gaming operating system, and DirectX services Windows well, so they ran with that. With the onset of the Unix-based operating system lately, Mac OS X, and now Google boosting the popularity of Linux via Android, I would imagine ArenaNet is making provisions for this system, potentially through relying on something other than DirectX. If they do not accommodate native OS X or Linux support, that's a huge profit potential loss. That would become a huge mistake in this time frame. This from a huge fanboy. Like he's saying, you know, we could get into this huge technical discussion, but Google, you know, supports Android. Android is Linux-based, and it's all... once you start getting into the mobile gaming versus Mac and PC gaming, I mean, it's almost like now, you know, people realize that it's going to be on all these different platforms, and it's almost like you have to, develop for these. And I think that's kind of what Ryan's saying here. You know, it's a huge profit potential loss. For not accommodating to native OS X, which is Mac, or Linux support. So, it's all about making the most money everywhere possible, I think.
Well, that's kind of the bottom line anyway, so...
Yeah, but I think it gets to that point where you have to weigh that versus hiring a dev team that can reprogram your game specifically for those platforms, you know. So, I don't know. I mean, we're not the ones looking at the numbers and the budgets and the, you know... the cost of everything, so it's we'll leave it to ArenaNet, I think.
Well, and I'm even more not a programmer than you are, so that's why I'm just sitting here going, yeah, I agree. I think you're absolutely right.
All right, well, this next email, this is from Azuba, and he says, hey, Ruby and Sean, you probably hear this too much already, but I guess you never grow tired of it. I love the podcast.
Hey.
You're right, we don't get tired of that. Mondays are dreadful. Listening to the new podcast during my commute makes it that much more bearable. On to the reason of my email.
In episode that wasn't enough?
Yeah. On episode 25, you talk about the upcoming wedding and how it may be Gwen and Kieran, but not necessarily. Oh, well, sorry.
Too late.
It might as well be the Emperor for all you know. While we can never be 100% true, I am pretty sure it will be Gwen's wedding. By following the below link and scrolling to just a question, you can read that John Stummy...
Stummy is the way I have heard it.
See, I was saying Stoom last week, and that was wrong. I apologize, John.
Okay, well, if we're still wrong, somebody from ArenaNet needs to leave a comment or shoot us an email, or somebody tell us, give us a pronunciation guide.
See, I always have that excuse, that backup excuse that I don't know how to pronounce anything, so...
Uh-huh. Oh, wait, no. If you know what? He needs to do an intro for us.
Ah, that's very true. Yes, he does.
And then we will know for sure.
We'll have to ask him about that. It says, you can read that John Stummy's kind of confirms that the wedding is Gwen and Kieran's, and that's in his wiki user talk area. And that's, I think we talked about that too, where he says, he pretty much confirms it. But that was before, of course. Now we know that it's out, so you know, so we don't have to worry about that. That was pretty much it from him. The rest of it is kind of a little bit more speculation on that, but like I said, we already know that that's going to happen. Yeah. This next one is from Chris, and he says, "Hello, in my house, it only has one true PC-based computer, and that is solely for gaming. The other three computers are running Mac OS X." OS X. If any Mac user really wanted to play a PC game, they could. There's a lovely thing called Boot Camp under Utilities. That's what I was talking about. You will also need a Windows DVD and OS X DVD. YouTube and Google know everything. Is that a jab at me? No, I'm just kidding. You all also talked about payment models of MMOs. Maybe it was just me up at 2:30 a.m., but it sounded like you were talking about Guild Wars 2 as a free-to-play model, not buy-to-play. I know we will be paying for quality, not quantity, when it comes to Guild Wars 2 gameplay, meaning we won't see 10 games like Guild Wars 2 just with different textures and titles like a lot of the free-to-play games have today, and get a little more bang for our buck. Back to the point, even though Guild Wars 2 has not set a price on its CDs yet, I am guesstimating around $60. If I am paying that much money on a game, I would expect not to be nickel and dimed on items that I would need, such as a warehouse or inventory space. Like I said in my last email from episode 24, I have no problem paying for items that I think are worth the amount. Do I think a custom is worth $10? No. But would I pay for an armor pack? Yes. Do I think a story mission pack is worth $10? Yes, and I have paid for them. I really hope that they think about what they are putting in their in-game store. Also known as a cash shop. Oh, no. And he says, why is that word so taboo? That's what it is, after all. I think we were just kidding, actually.
Yeah.
Another topic that you two talked about was the Hall of Monuments. Actually, let's get onto that after we talk about this, since there's two different topics. Okay. There's a kind of a terminology dispute always about the word, you know, the term free-to-play. It's very misleading. You know, there's some people are calling it pay to play because of the fact that you have to actually pay to, you know, be able to progress in the game. That's the way some of them are set up. Some of them are set up to where you buy the game and then you don't have a sub fee, and you call those subscription less games. Then there are the ones that just give away everything for free. You don't have to pay for anything, and they don't even have an item shop, you know, and that's just completely free. It's all done differently, and like, free-to-play has kind of stuck, and I'm not really sure why, because it's kind of misleading. It's like calling all copy machines Xeroxes, you know what I mean? They're not all made by Xerox, but it's right. Just one of those things. So far we do know that you're going to buy Guild Wars 2, and you're not going to have a subscription. And there's probably going to be, you know, cosmetic items in the shop available to purchase. Now, if they go beyond that, like he's saying, he's not a big fan of the whole buying inventory space thing. I imagine they're still going to do that, you know, because they do that with Guild Wars 1 now. It's kind of a touchy thing. It's almost like they're going over that border a little bit into kind of, you know, not just cosmetic items, but stuff you actually might need. A lot of games do that in, again, quote-unquote, free-to-play, is they'll have 50 million things you need to collect to advance your crafting, and then you have 20 slots, you know, to hold it. And it's like, oh, I have to buy more inventory space. I have to buy more storage space in my bank. And, hey, luckily they sell, you know, 20 different tabs full of 100 slots in each tab, and they're $10 each. Oh, great, you know, I'll go ahead and buy 5 of those for $50, and, you know, now I can store all my stuff. Well, that's what they're hoping you'll say, you know, and it's kind of, I mean, it's not a trap, because it's something you don't have to do to play the game, but it's kind of trappy. Is that a word, trappy? Trap-like?
I guess. I have a little bit of a different take on this.
Okay.
First of all, I'm like choosing my words so carefully here. It's just such a matter of opinion outside of purely cosmetic costumes. It's such a matter of an opinion of what you need and what you don't need. I logged into Guild Wars really quickly while you were talking just to make sure I knew what I was talking about.
Because you were really bored?
No. Well, I'm avoiding that question. No, I wanted to... The thing of storage space was a good example. I mean, I take a little bit of issue in the first place with the use of words like need and force. You know, they force us to buy this, or we need this, because it's a game. And not to minimalize this thing that we're all so passionate about, but, you know, something that I'm very fond of saying to my children is, you need food and shelter. You don't need another storage tab. Mm-hmm. Now, that's, and this is coming from the perspective, and this too, I was counting. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I have 8 storage tabs. I've purchased several. And 3 of those storage tabs are solely for spare armor and costumes for a single character. 1 storage tab is just for mini pets. I mean, and those are the ones that I use. I have like a bunch more on a mule. So I am, you know, all about paying for the cosmetics and paying for the, you know, the fun extras. So it's not that I think they're stupid or you shouldn't buy them or something. But I think we start off with a fairly generous amount of storage space. I mean, I think we can probably agree on that. I would agree more if you started off this game and they gave you 0 storage and said you have to carry everything around in your bags. But for $9.99, you can have a Zunlai tab. Mm-hmm. But we start off with a pretty generous amount. And again, I've had extra tabs for so long, I can't remember. But each tab is 20 slots. I mean, you start off with at least 60 slots, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, that just comes with the game. And that is a reasonable amount. Mm-hmm. And then don't you get an extra tab or two with each expansion? Or with each campaign?
Yep.
I'm serious. I'm trying so hard to remember this right now. They're very generous with the free storage you get. If you are a pack rat like me that has to have all the stuff, then yeah, you can go purchase some extra, but it's not needed. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. And plus you get, now we have, what are they called? Now we have the equipment packs that allow your character to carry around up to 2, 3, 4, 5, up to 20 more items on her person. And those can be earned in game. They're not even real money items. So I think they give us a generous amount, and I think it's a good balance of saying, you know, here's all of this for free. If you want even more, then it's in the store. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel like any sort of a need thing to me.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was talking about other games that do that. I don't think, I mean, Guild Wars does have a lot of storage available, but if it's one of those things that it doesn't matter if I don't like it. It doesn't matter if I think that it's stupid that they're charging for this, because there are people out there who will pay for it. And so this is kind of my point. I personally don't agree with it, and not so much in Guild Wars, but in other. You know, I'm thinking of Runes of Magic here. Runes of Magic is you have, you know, 50 million things to carry, every little tiny part, and then they want to charge you for storage for, you know, for anything past one tab. I mean, you have one tab of storage. So, when I think of that, you know, that is. I don't want to say unfair because I don't. It's not unfair. You don't have to have every crafting profession. You don't have to carry everything, but it's kind of leads you towards that. I'm not a fan of that, but other people are, and those people should buy it if they want to, and they should support ArenaNet. And the people who don't like it don't have to do it. But I don't think it's fair for the people who don't want to do it to complain that it shouldn't be in the game. Period. And that's my point. The people who don't want to do it should ignore it. The people who do want to do it should buy it. That's it. Like, there shouldn't be any crossover there. There shouldn't be people who don't want to buy it saying it shouldn't be in the game at all, 100%, because that's... Just don't worry about it. Just, you know, if you don't watch TV, you don't watch channels that you hate because, you know, you have another channel, you know, a click away, and you just go to that channel. You know what I mean? It's just one of those things. You just, if you don't like it, don't do it.
It's not very fair to say just because you don't like it, it shouldn't exist for anybody.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so, I'm absolutely on board with that.
We could have a whole, like, roundtable discussion show on topics like this. We should actually do that. Get a bunch of people together, pick, like, three topics or something. And actually, that might even be too many because we'll probably argue about them the whole show. But
my gosh, we could do one. I love that idea. We should do that.
And then just pick, like, a really hot topic like that. Like, the no subscription versus buying the heck out of everything, you know, and then just talk about it the whole time. I think we should probably do that. I did that on a few Guildcast episodes, you know, way back in the day. But
you did that on purpose.
Yeah. But yeah, we should do that again.
Maybe do we want to take suggestions from our readers or from our listeners?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And also, you know, Ryan from Relics of War, he and I have been talking a long time. He wants to get me on his show, and I want to get him on my show, but it's the timing. Like, so maybe we could do that with his, you know, with his show him on our show. I mean, he has, of course you remember Tiger Feet.
Yeah.
She did a lot of the intros. She plays with us on Minecraft, too. And she's on his show regularly. So, you know, we get her, we get Ryan, a couple other people. Yeah, this is all, I'm brainstorming, like, while I'm recording here, which... usually isn't a good idea.
It's always, yeah, that always goes well.
But, so they'll probably be listening to this and like, what? Wait, he didn't ask me. So I'll ask them, see what they think. But it's all about
timing.
I love that idea. Yeah, be cool. Anyway, let's go on with this email. It says, another topic that you two talked about was Hall of Monuments. I have to agree with both of you, as well as the writer. It was a good idea for ArenaNet to make the Hall an achievement counter to get ready for Guild Wars 2. I am also sure it brought a spike of revenue for them upon its release, but for new players, it's kind of a handful. Like you all said before, going to level 20 is like throwing a water balloon in a tank. Not how you two so poetically said it, but getting level 20 isn't the point. It is the whole game. Like I said, it is a handful because we see this huge list that we can choose to do, and it is a choice, but everyone wants the items, even if they really do not want or need them. Where the older players have been working on this list for years and might have never even thought about it until having the need to put the items or titles in the hall when the calculator came out. The only part I do not like about this hall is the devotion section. From what I gather, minis went for just about nothing before the calculator. Now it seems like we have to sell a kidney to get them. They are also the only items we cannot get from the NPC for a price. As for myself, I get to 10 points, and I felt that was a good stopping place. I will have a nice starter armor set and a bow for when the game comes out. That was my choice, but having 50 points would still be nice to have. I wish my achievement Ho of a Brother were here to get the rest for me. Sorry for the long email. Dukin. And he says, P.S. Oh my gosh, I'm so jealous that you're going to G-Star. I really want to go to Korea. How is your stomach after eating all that spicy food, Sean? Actually, it's really well. It wasn't too bad at all. I could also make an entire show about eating Korean food because I love it. Love it. Anyway. So, I think we pretty much covered this Hall of Monuments topic. You know, it's about... essentially, I mean, we don't want to spend too much time on this because, you know, we talked about it before, but you've written all about it before, and you know, even though you had those guides to getting to 30 and getting to 50, you know, in Flameseeker Chronicles, mm-hmm. It's one of those things that, you know, you can do if you want to, or you can do if you're kind of an achievement ho, like he says here. Yeah, you can do that. You know, you can set your mind to it and do it. It's a goal. It's something that you do if it's, you know. But if you kind of weigh the fact that, hey, maybe I have other stuff to do, or maybe I don't really care about the items, or whatever it is, I mean, it's a give and take. You weigh those and you say, okay, 10 is good enough for me. I'm fine with that. I think it's a personal preference. That's it.
It is. Now, you know what? I know we've gone through the whole thing before, but there is something in the market that has changed quite a bit that I want to address, because he mentioned the mini pets. Mm-hmm. This is exactly what I and probably so many other people predicted. The market tanked again. Wow. We're back to people are offering to give away white mini pets.
Oh, man.
And I knew. I mean, you know, the initial frenzy, everybody was selling like first-year whites for 10, 20K. And after that initial frenzy died down and everybody got what they needed, that's like I said, new mini pets are entering the market every single day in this game.
Yeah.
And we're back to a glut of mini pets. Mm-hmm. So if you want, you don't have to sell your kidney anymore, so I hope you didn't. because you seriously got a bad deal. But you can go to the American Districts of Comedon and even just say, you know, want to buy first-year whites, 2K, and I would imagine people will fall all over you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because in my alliance, we're back to people can't give the things away. We've got a guild mule in our guild, and we're back to people are getting birthday presents. We've got one guy with, like, an insane amount of accounts. And they're actually his legitimate accounts. He has purchased them all. As far as I know, I hope I'm not just like screwing that up here. But anyway, he got like 11 birthday presents last week. And then we have a married couple that has quite a few accounts, and the wife in that couple just donated. I think she's donated like 8 or 9 minis to the guild mule. Mm. Nobody wants them.
Yeah.
So we're back to the mini pet market is back to its previous state, which I knew would happen. So that is back to being probably one of the easiest monuments to fill now.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm glad I sold, you know, the extras I had when I did. I wish I would have sold more. Because I don't know what it is. I don't know if, like, somebody at Arena that has a sense of humor. I don't know. But I get so many jade armor. Like, that was the first year ones. And it was like, I think most of my characters got jade armor. And I'm like, seriously? Jade armor?
Oh, my gosh.
Again? Really? So I have a lot of those. But anyway, yeah, it's that was a kind of a fluke thing that happened for a little while, and you know, people took advantage of it. But yeah, I think that's done.
Yeah, it's definitely over. So mini pets. Yeah. I think the monument to devotion is one of the easiest.
Cool.
Okay, so moving on. Sorry.
All right. So next email. This is from Oomph Big Axe. I hope I said that right. From the Pink Animal Clan.
I hope that's his real name.
His birth name.
Yeah.
In real life, yeah. I think it probably is.
I hope
with the dawning of the 7-hero party commencing as I type, I can't help but wonder what the henchmen are going to think about all of these young upstarts running around. Sure, the heroes were kicked out of the PvP scene, but it's a small consideration when most of the player base is out killing monsters and not each other. Do you think the henchies will get their heads together? There's so many of them in the guild hall these days, and outfit themselves with sample builds designed for PvE. Perhaps the henchies should run another contest to design PvE builds much like the PvP contest. They could be holding protest signs in all of the outposts during the contest, picketing the players not to overlook them as their inevitable demise looms even closer. I think it would be a good idea for newer guildless solo players to be able to look over a henchies build to get ideas for what works and what doesn't in a particular area. Hopefully this could, in part, lead to the demise of the 4-res-carrying monk. We can only hope. Oomph Big Axe from Pink. And he says, P.S., even if you don't discuss this on the show, at least give Pink a shout-out. We did, twice. So
Pink. Agree. A whole bunch of shout-outs.
I think that's, I mean, I like his, it's kind of a lighthearted email, kind of making fun of, you know, putting into perspective the problems joblessness that the old henchies will have. It's kind of funny, but I think he has a good idea in here about maybe letting people see the builds mm-hmm. of the henchies. I think people, don't they have that in the wiki? People figured out the hench builds?
Yeah.
Put them in the wiki a long time ago?
Yeah, you can go to the wiki, but it would be nice. I mean, the henchmen in your guild hall, they will show you their builds. It would be good if Alicia and all of them could do that.
I kind of don't want to know what she has, you know?
I think she's gone through a couple of upgrades, if I am not mistaken.
Yeah, she has, definitely. Yeah. And like Orion, he has the Firestorm.
Orion is awesome. He is the elementalist that I strive to be like.
I just wonder if he has anything else. That's the problem. Like,
just the Firestorm that he shoots off after the battle ends.
Yeah. He has like different Firestorms for different occasions. It's like this Firestorm will be after a Char dies. This one will be after a Devourer dies. Yeah, I think that's...
I love it. Well, I will be disappointed in ArenaNet if the henchmen do not react in some way to Seven Hero Parties. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking of the guy in the Stormtrooper outfit standing on the street corner with the cardboard sign. Have you seen that picture?
Yeah.
Yeah, replaced by CGI, will work for food.
Oh, wait, that's a Cylon, I think. Isn't it? That, maybe they have different versions, but there's
maybe
one
they have different versions, but the one I saw way back when was a Stormtrooper.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure somebody's going to email and correct me and say that's a clone trooper. It's a white Star Wars guy, okay?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I that's why I think his email is funny, because it was like, think of the henchmen.
Yeah.
Think of their families.
They're going to have a little tin cup under a tree in Rotasoom. I will be disappointed if they don't react to this in some way.
Yeah, they might. I don't know.
So anyway, yeah.
Okay, let's see. We have a couple more that I'm not going to read about the Mac thing, because I think we killed that topic.
Oh, deader than a doornail.
Okay, this next one says, Dear Windshrub. I guess that's our names together. That's pretty awesome.
I guess so.
I listened to your most recent podcast and remember hearing speculation about the upcoming wedding in-game. Oh, this has also been covered. On an episode of the Relics of Ore podcast, Ryan had an interview with John Stummy, and he brings up Guild Wars Beyond content. One thing he specifically said is the Gwen and Kieran wedding.
There you go.
Okay, so that's something I probably didn't need to read because it's already been...
We know!
These are old. It's not their fault. It's totally my fault.
Stop leaving the country.
I know. What's my problem? Like, I'm catching up. Okay, so this next one says, Hi, Sean, Ruby, Sean. First up, let me apologize for my harsh words directed at ArenaNet in my last email I sent to you. I know that misunderstandings are no one's fault. It's just that with ArenaNet making it a policy to not talk about a feature unless it's already in the game, I cannot see why this would not apply to the business model concerning the in-game store. With that out of the way, yay new costumes and quests as well. Although I have not done the War and Cryda content to completion yet, and yes, it is a bit of a bother to rezone the first bit. I am confident that the new helping hand ArenaNet has created will be of great help for PvE noob and PvP players like myself. PvE noob PvP players. That's like all one phrase. Okay. Congratulations on the top hat, Ruby. I hope it looks as amazing as you thought it would. On a side note, no need to hold your tongue, Ruby. I can take it. With much love, Anasi Chapai. He doesn't have a pronunciation guide on this one, so I'm completely lost.
Oh.
I'm trying to look through these and make sure that we don't have any more that are talking about things we've already discussed. But I have to read this next one because of the beginning is worth it. And just to hear Ruby's reaction to the beginning.
Oh, no.
Okay, it starts out. Dear Sean, Shaun / Sean, so like he knows, he's being funny.
Oh wait, but I know what this one is.
Dear Sean and Jenna.
What? What is that?
Now,
what podcast is this? I am so confused.
Now, for anyone who doesn't know, I used to do, it's been a while. I haven't stopped doing it, but I did a podcast called Oh My God Real Life, and it was like a advice podcast, and my co-host's name was Jenna. And it's so funny that he puts that in there, because it's like, it's just totally out of left field. I don't know. It's funny.
I just really hope he was actually trying to be funny.
I think so.
I hope so.
Because of the whole Sean thing.
Yeah.
At the beginning there. Yeah. So, okay, so he has a couple questions. He says, questions come first, blather follows. Number one, speculation. What are your hopes for Guild Wars Beyond specifically? I think it's absolutely awesome that Anet is still updating this game outside of paid campaigns and expansions. I personally hope that Ebon Hookup is added as an outpost, perhaps near the edge of the Searing. Ruby, if they do make an Ebon Hawk outpost, I'm going to seriously consider trying to use TexMod to change the name of, to its proper name.
I will want that text mod.
Yeah, that would be funny. I mean, yeah, we've talked about that, but
maybe we could have like a little house on the side of the street with a do not disturb sign on the door. Hey, that's where they are.
So do you have any more comments about Guild Wars Beyond?
Let's see. What do I want to see? I just, you know, I want more free content. Isn't that awful? Doesn't that sound greedy?
More free.
More free content. I want Ebon Hawk as an outpost. Ebon Hookup as an outpost. And I want that little do not disturb sign. No, seriously, I'm with you in that I would like to see Ebon Hawk established. I want to go there and I want to see it. But I'm also very, very excited for the Canthan content. We know that the... Oh my gosh, I forgot the name. We know that the Eternal Grove, and it's not even the Eternal Grove, we know that the forest in Kentha is starting to come back to life. I love when I forget
the Echovault Forest?
Thank you. I love when I forget what this stuff is called while we're recording it. I'm like, crap. I don't have time to check the wiki, and I've had a brain lapse. I know that it's starting to come back to life. I imagine that it won't be just all at once, poof, everything's green, surprise. But I would I really am anxious to see that process. I want to see what it's going to be like. So those are really at the top of my wish list right now. Show me Ebon Hawk, and let's get the Canthan content. Let's get Winds of Change underway.
I would almost guarantee they're going to have Ebon Hawk in, just because of the books, the first book at least. I don't know. I mean, it seems like they wouldn't put that in there unless they were going to have that specific outpost in there.
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see it.
Okay, so his next point here says, number two, Mad King joke. What is one of the perks of being a Char Minion Master?
What?
Dinner to go.
I love Mad King jokes.
That's a pretty good one. I like that one.
Yeah.
Number three, stupidly easy monument points. I spent much of the 4 years I've been playing Guild Wars Awesome for less than six hours a week, so I sympathize with the unnamed engineering student from episode 25. I hope he doesn't rage quit over too few HOM rewards, because Anet has been extremely generous with points. You play the game because it's fun, right? If you play like it's fun, you can still accumulate a respectable 15 points with almost no extra effort beyond normal PvE gameplay. The quick rundown on 15 points just for playing. Display Mox Hero. Get Stolen Stun Spear Armor for 4 heroes. Beat any one campaign. Tame a Black Moa. Buy Kurzik or Luxon Armor. Craft a Destroyer Weapon. And dedicate the cheapest mini you can find. It's not expensive. It's not time-consuming. It's fun. Just play. Number four, Blather. Thanks for bringing Guildcast back, Sean. I rediscovered the show about a month ago when I had a hankering for some old-school Guild Wars podcast goodness. I was a-quiver with joy for days. I'm all caught up now, so I feel comfortable writing in. Ruby, your voice is the highlight of the podcast. Hey, wait. What about my voice? Signing off, Valcor Dreamling. I would say that after reading that email, he is definitely kidding when he said Jenna. He seems to have a good sense of humor.
Okay, then I'm all right with that. And he has excellent taste in podcasts. I always like to hear when someone is excited that Guildcast is coming back, because you did so many cool things with this in the first round of Guildcast and had such a following that, to me, it's just as exciting. I'm just as much of a fan as anybody else. So it's exciting to me that it's back, and I love hearing that from longtime fans.
Yeah. I actually had someone in-game ask me a while back, like, you know, you did so much with Guildcast. Like, you had contests, you had videos, you had, you know, in-game events all the time, in-game contests. Like, why don't you do any of that with the new Guildcast? Like, why, you know, what's the deal? I don't know. I mean, that's a hard question. That's a really hard question. I think, to be completely honest, I think, you know, when you first start doing stuff like this, you get really, really enthusiastic about it. You want to do everything. I also had the time to do everything. Now it's kind of like, I mean, I do have plans for all this stuff. You know, I do want to start, but it's like I've already done that. I want to kind of move forward and offer new stuff, you know, like the roundtable thing. You know, it's something I want to do, even though we've done it, but I think if we do it in a different way, it'll be fun. Contests, they never worked correctly, I think. It was one of those things, you know, I think one of the very first contests we ever had was a race. And we had it to where we had judges at the zone points of every zone, and the person who they saw run across first, you know, would get a prize for each zone. And then the person who won the overall race, I think it was all the way across the Maguma Jungle or something like that, that person would get an overall prize. Well, with lag and everything, the judges saw different winners. You know, I mean, there were different people in different positions each time, and it got to the point where it was like, well, what do we do about this? You know, so we ended up giving prizes to people, and people get mad, and you know, and then I would do like trivia contests, and people would say that you know, one of the answers was wrong, which made them not the winner, and it got to the point, and I'm not saying like I can't handle dispute because that's kind of my job, yeah. but. It's one of the, I just don't like to shortchange people, and I don't like people to feel like they're not getting, you know, a fair treatment. Right. So the whole contest thing I think died out in Guildcast because of that. But there are other ways to still be entertaining and educational, I guess, in a podcast. And I think that you know, what we're doing now is kind of our, it's almost like a what Ruby and I do in Massively Speaking too, you know, except all Guild Wars. And I think it works for us. It's a normal conversation. You know, we have conversations all the time, and you know, like I always say, we just happen to be recording this one. Mm-hmm. You know, and I like that. I think that works out well. It's a lot more organic. It's a little bit different from the old Guildcast. Yeah, sure, but it's kind of the new, you know, the new way we're doing things. So if you don't like it, I mean, I'm sorry, but I'm not gonna really go back to the old Guildcast where it was. I mean, it was heavily scripted. I would write some really detailed notes down, and I would kind of go through them, you know, just by myself. And I don't know, it worked, but I think that we're just different now. Not better or worse, just different.
Yeah, this is just that's like you said. It's a little more organic. I'm kind of looking at the. I'm actually looking at the instant messenger times here. We talked about what we were going to talk about. Like 20 minutes before we started. Mm-hmm. And we pretty much do that every week. It's just, okay, are we going to talk about this? And then we just chat about it.
Yeah, and that's exactly why, you know, I tell Ryan this too from Relics of War. It's really hard to get him on the podcast because we literally change the time so much. Like even today, we were going to record an hour before we started recording. But
I think you got
late.
All drunk and... Oh, no.
Yeah, no, it's, you know, and this happens all the time. It's always something where we're like, oh, let's record an hour instead. Okay, yeah. But Ruby is so flexible in that, you know, in that regard where it's like, she'll be like, okay, sure, because she really has nothing else to do, you know?
I hate you. But two, we're both like stupid early risers.
Yeah.
And three quarters of the time we're doing this at some ridiculous hour of the morning.
Yeah, and I would expect most people to be sleeping, so there's that. And I think Ryan, you know, most of the things he does when he records his podcast are on the weekends, and I totally can't do weekends. So, I mean, we're getting off on a huge tangent here, but yeah. Anyway.
But so. with the first round of Guildcast, I mean, you had a lot going on. With that first round of Guildcast, you had forums, you had guests on the show right and left. My gosh, you had a cafe press store. I mean, you've done all this, and you've done the big, scripted, complicated thing.
Yeah. And that's why I think it's funny when I see Ryan doing that stuff. It's like, it's almost like, I don't know, like, you have to do that stuff, you know what I mean, like, to build a community. Mm-hmm. And I'll see this stuff on other podcasts, and I'm not picking on Ryan, but, you know, other podcasts will do the, you know, the cafe press, the forums, and all this other stuff. And
And it makes you say back in the day.
And it makes me say back in the day. and it makes me tell people to get off my lawn. And no. But I just, it's one of those things where I'm just like, yeah, I mean, that it really works. It really gets people together, and it makes people excited about, you know, what you're talking about and what you're doing and kind of building a community, and I think it really works. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know if we would ever have forums again, but I don't know. You never know.
Well, and you have a much more full schedule than you did back in Guild Wars, back in the day.
Yep.
So I don't know. We'll see. But I'm... As far as now, I kind of like the idea of letting a couple people in on our conversations now and again.
Yeah, it's just timing. Just, and that's kind of essentially what I'm saying here. But all right, so let's go on to the next email.
Yeah, yay for reminiscing.
This is a really long show, and we're like halfway through the emails. Dear Sean, and especially Ruby. Wow.
Yay.
I have owned every Guild Wars campaign since their respective releases, but never finished any of them until recently, thanks mainly to Ruby's articles on the Hall of Monuments. When I first took a look at the rewards, I thought, okay, I can totally get my 6 points for the Heritage Armor and be okay with myself. 1 month later, and now I have 13 points and I'm getting obsessed. I was looking forward to WoW Cataclysm, that is, until I realized that I'm only 5 points away from my Gauntlets of Dwaena. That is your fault. I no longer have time for any other MMOs. And he says, hello, Rift Beta, in a few weeks. I don't know if I should hug you or run screaming from you to the nearest adult screaming, Ruby is a bad stranger, protect me from her siren song.
I have candy in a van. Come here. Come on.
Anywho, keep up the good work. Also, boo on you for having massively Guild Wars night on Thursdays, the one night a week I'm busy. A pox on both your houses.
I'm sorry.
That's why I can't sell my house.
Because there's a pox on it.
Beodar Shatria, Army of Fairies. P.S. Seriously, thank you both for the rest of and the rest of the Massively crew for keeping me sane at work during the week. Mr. Off. Yeah, I mean that's always something good to talk about.
Yeah, I'm glad you liked it. I'm excited that it's still helping people.
Yeah. I'm going to end this on this line. Now, this isn't all the emails. This one here is from 6 days ago, so we still have quite a few, but we're going to get to them. I have to end it with this one because it is... It's fun. Okay, dear Ruby, thanks for addressing my question about lack of perks in Guild Wars 2 for the newest players. I guess I felt like I'd only have enough time to either complete the campaigns or collect titles, but that guide is very nice. I've bookmarked it for future use once I beat the story and such. Who knows, maybe if I put enough time in during Christmas break, I can beat Factions of Nightfall and Sorrow's Furnace. And he says, it's been kicking my butt. It's been busy kicking my butt for a while now, but it's okay, I'm having fun. I guess that was just I was just intimidated by the size of the campaigns before me, but since then I've beaten Prophecies and realized that maybe I can beat it all in a timely manner and start collecting for Guild Wars 2. Thanks for the guild and advice. Lots of love, but not in a creepy way, Farkas. He says, yeah, that's my in-game name. Okay, next part. Dear Sean, a.k.a. the angry ranting jerk. Wow, thanks for exploding at me. I feel very degraded by the way you grouped me along with the Necro video releaser, the haters, and the in-general angry 13-year-olds. Thanks, I appreciate that. I understand your frustrations. I also guess that I felt left out due to the lack of fancy stuff for newer players, but you reminding me that there's people out there who have been playing for 5 years, so I guess they deserve the nice stuff. So if all I get is a name reserve because I played in a funny way rather than an efficient way, well, I'll be sad but slightly less. But maybe you shouldn't link hate to a specific email. It's not like I was angry at Anet for calling them horrible people. So why categorize me with the people who went apes after the announcement of the cash shop? Well, for future reference, maybe you shouldn't attach rants to emails. There's a chance of implying horrible things about the reader. So yeah, I got a little good advice from you, so thanks for that. And if you felt sorry, I'd definitely forgive you and not give it a second thought. At least reread my email and see whether I seem like the angry noob type or not. P.S. By the way, you should post a guild to joining your guild on your site or address it again. I'd love to join if you'll take me. I think what he's saying here, yeah, I mean, I guess I didn't think about it I don't remember exactly what the progression of events was, but I think I read his email and then I kind of went off on this rant. But of course I'm not saying, you know, when I do rants like that, it things remind me of stuff. And when you record, like, you know, we've said we're recording basically as we're talking, and there's not really a lot of editing at all. And it's kind of, you know, when you're talking and it happens to be recorded, sometimes, you know, there's no script. Yeah, there's no script. There's no, like, outline of what you're going to say. And things remind you of things, and you just kind of go off on tangents. And that's me to a T. I mean, that's all I do. I go on tangents all the time. I mean, so, yeah, it definitely wasn't meant to be directly at you. So I apologize if it made it sound like I was, you know, kind of ranting at you. I was kind of ranting at the people, you know, that I've read in forums or, you know, in comments at Massively or things like that, where it's always like, this isn't fair. And I think as a general thing, you know, in life and in society itself, you know, I was ranting about that, where it's like people who say it's not fair to get things and they don't even try. You know, it's like you shouldn't get to be a doctor if you don't go to medical school. Like, that's just, it's basically how it breaks down. And it's one of those things that has always bothered me. And I kind of went off a little bit, maybe, I wouldn't say too much, because I think it was well-deserved for those people, but not towards you. You know, I'm not saying that towards you. So, yeah, if you took it like that, I didn't mean it like that at all. Just kind of towards, I mean, there are stupid people in the world, but none of them listen to Guildcast, right?
Yes. If they were stupid, they wouldn't listen to Guildcast.
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about.
There's a backwards logic there, but I think you see right there.
Yeah. So, yeah, I understand where you're coming from. And I can take it. I can take the angry, ranting jerk comments. Although I didn't call you a jerk, but okay, that's fine. No, but I understand. I mean, yeah, if you thought that I was directing that towards you, I understand. And that's fine. But I was not at all. So,
okay.
So let's, can't we all just get along?
Wipe my tears away.
So yeah, I wanted to end it with that, just to, you know, let people know what was going on with that. We had an email a few weeks ago too, where we were kind of ripping on PC Gamer, and someone felt really uncomfortable about that. I'm not going to read it, of course, because it was a friend of mine, you know, a person I've known a long time, and I think it's kind of that same thing where it's like, you know, we get on the rants about topics, and we did specifically call out PC Gamer, of course. But it was not meant to be, you know, like anything personal against, you know, any of the people who work there or anything like that. You know, it's just and it did sound kind of like we were being babies about it, you know, being like
sour grapes.
Yeah, sour grapes, and being a little competitive and in a bad way. But it wasn't like that. So
no, I actually kind of am glad you mentioned that. It wasn't competitiveness. I mean, we have the same. I think ArenaNet or NCSoft spreads out their exclusives pretty well, and we definitely get our fair share at Massively. Mm. It's just that we hate seeing something about this game that we love screwed up so badly.
Yeah.
So it wasn't. It really wasn't. We didn't mean it like that.
Yeah, and we've killed that topic. So
I know. But I have to say that. Okay.
No, I know. So. I know. That's cool. I'm going to start ranting at you now. Hey, that's an idea.
Okay, you know what? You've already ranted at me. You just do that anyway. It's not like that's something special.
I'll be like, and Ruby, it's all her fault. Yeah, how's that? Yeah, let me know. Readers, let me know if you want me to do that. No. Just kidding.
The only difference is that you're doing it publicly.
No. Okay, so yeah, I guess that's, I mean, like I said, we have quite a few. Let me see. We have like five left. But I wanted to end it on that one. You know, a lot of them were kind of like, hey, I think that it's going to be Kieran and Gwen's wedding, you know, and things like that. Or there were a few more Mac emails. But I, you know, of course, you can understand why we're not getting into those, because it's kind of been covered. But I want to thank, you know, even though I'm saying I'm not going to read these emails, I want to thank everyone for sending in the emails, and definitely keep writing them in. You know, even if we don't read every single one, we kind of touch on the big topics, and we make sure to cover as many as we can. Even the ones that are sitting in my inbox now, I'll try to get to next time. So that should be, you know, something that we'll aim for, and we'll get another episode out in a week instead of waiting 2 weeks, and then we won't have so many emails, right?
Well, I think we're done traveling for a few months, so.
Well, yeah, we say that now, but
we'll see. that will help.
But then, of course, we have Christmas coming up too, which will, or, you know, winter's holiday, whatever you celebrate, and that will, I don't know, that might change some things, but we'll see.
Our gift to you will be some episodes.
Yeah. Or if you really don't like the show, then our gift will be no episodes. How's that? We make sure you email us at either shawn@guildcast.com or rubi@guildcast.com. You can check out our Twitter and Facebook pages. Check out our main page at guildcast.com or guildcast.wordpress.com, where we have the show notes up with all the goodies we talked about in the episode. And I think, hopefully, next week, you know, they'll reveal the Mesmer, and we'll have something to talk about then. But until then, this is Sean.
I'm Ruby.
And we'll talk to you then.